How's it going, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to a new episode of the Phoenix MMA podcast. So this one, yeah, it's Tuesday, so second ice day, ice and snow day. The gym's been closed, so right now the roadways, all the coaches, right now it's not possible for us to get to the gym, and I'd say every gym right now in the Nashville area and Middle Tennessee is closed. It's just you don't want to lose your momentum, and you want to train and you want to stay focused, but at the same time, you don't want to have to use your insurance policy. You don't want to get into a car wreck if you don't need to. And I think on Monday between 5 a.m. and 9 a.m. or 8 a.m., they had close to 300 vehicle accidents. And I believe what the story that I read on the news was saying that Metro can't handle every report, so they were putting a link for a website where you pull your vehicle off to the side of the road and then file your own report, take pictures and things like that. So so not trying to contribute to people getting on the roadways so that we don't block the road or cause more issues where more of our first responders have to answer to those. And every once in a while it's nice to be locked into the house. Makes you appreciate leaving the house and getting going and all that good stuff. But so the gym has been closed yesterday and today. So I plan on doing this podcast on Friday, but might as well knock it out right now so we have something. If you want to listen to the podcast, you can listen to it while you're cooped up in the house, or if you're working out in your garage, you're going for a run. I'm still working out. I'm still training. Yesterday did hill runs, jog down, and sprint up, but I'm sprinting and running in snowboarding gear, like snowboarding boots. And if you know what snowboarding boots feel like, it's your heels are driving, not your toes are forced up. So it's a kind of weird, awkward jog, but I'm still getting some cardio in and then lifted at night. So still training. And this is an aspect as well of mental training, whether it's a podcast breakdown, reading books, studying tape and film. So that's the other thing I did more of yesterday, was watch more fights and matches than just because I'm home right now more than normal and not training. So just because you're not on the mats doesn't mean that you can't improve. And in this week, being a snow and ice week, actually isn't too bad. We have a tournament on Saturday, a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu tournament on Saturday. If you're competing on Saturday and you're thinking, oh no, I can't train this week, this isn't a bad thing. The week of a tournament, you don't want to blast yourself. You want to peak on that week. And part of peaking is the last week of competition is being a recovery period, where you're polishing and you're sharpening by drilling things, specific techniques, and watching film, studying film. And one of the biggest ones is if you're making a weight class, the last week is really crunch time when it comes to diet and cardio and stuff. But, you know, you could get a jump rope and jump rope in a bedroom or, you know, whatever you want to do. You could just go outside and jog. Go for a run, and you can do the cardio just to get the weight off. And the biggest thing I was going to announce Monday for class for everybody that's competing on Saturday, or if you're training with somebody that's competing on Saturday, is to take it easy on their joints, like elbows, ankles, wrists, fingers, stuff like that, or just be smart. Don't go full intensity this week. Drilling, getting some rounds in, breaking a sweat is good for you, but really all the work is already done. When it comes to your technique and skill that you have, even your conditioning, the last week is just polishing, keeping the things sharp that you want to work on, going over your game plan, your strategy, and managing calories, weight, losing weight. But also a big part of it is staying healthy that week. People will spar really hard every day that week, and then you'll strain your ankle. And you don't want to go into a competition with a slight sprain in an ankle, something like that it could affect what you're wanting to do, a takedown, or maybe somebody lands an ankle lock on you that they wouldn't normally because you rolled your ankle on Tuesday and the competition Saturday. So it's not bad, actually, the snow time. So if you're competing on Saturday, don't be freaking out right now. I'll give you some tips on that. So this isn't bad. little bit easier to reduce calories when you're not training as much, or doing as many sessions or as intense sessions. So just jogging, it's a little bit easier to have lower calories if you're just going for a run instead of hard sparring for 30, 45 minutes. Okay, so ideas that we can do when the gym is ice, or sorry, not the gym ice, just everything's ice right now, the entire city. You can study tape, so watch matches, world championships, title fights, all that good stuff. Watch matches, watch your opponents. If you have the ability to have a list of your opponents that you're going up against, you can watch their opponents and study tape on them, see their tendencies and what they like to do, their strengths and weaknesses. You can listen to podcasts, of course, and that's what you're doing right now. And it's nice that there's so many podcasts and smartphones, and the internet's amazing. You can study all the time for free. I did put on here, one of the notes is don't lose momentum. So with snow days, ice days, whatever it is, if it's a scheduled vacation, of course you want to relax and just chill. But if you're going into a tournament on Saturday, be careful getting a little too chill, a little bit too relaxed. So it's good to have just a slight bit of edge. Like you want to feel like assertive and excited about doing it. You don't want to get flat footed. So that's why I would still, you know, if you can't go, you can't come to the gym right now because it's closed and everything's iced, still watching, you know, even just 2-3 matches a day, keeping your mind into it. Doesn't have to be all day long that you watch matches, but keeping your mind sharp on it. You know, don't be like drinking alcohol or anything like that right now. It's still tournaments on Saturday. So it's, all this is going to warm up in the next couple days and melt, and life will go on. So it's going to be normal life. And also with the momentum thing, you can maintain your skill progression by, the things I said, podcast and studying tape and, going over your game plan. That will actually increase your skill level. So even though you're not physically maybe getting stronger or faster, you're not sparring, then you're still mentally and technically getting better. And that's good for you too, week of competition. So you're letting your body recover from what you've been doing the last 6 to 8 weeks, hopefully is high intensity training. So, you know, your elbows and shoulders probably need to recover, but you can still keep your technique and your mental side strong. Let's see. Yeah, just this week is a good time to deload, focus on calories, focus on making weight, recovering any aches and pains like a joint or something. I got Kimura 3 weeks ago, but you've still had to push really hard. So it's not bad. Increase your recovery, whether that's like a foam roller, or some people have the little massage gun, stuff like that. You could do that this week for extra recovery leading up into Saturday. And then, of course, you can run outside for cardio. If you have kettlebells or any type of weights or anything like that, you could do that. Or you could just do body weight exercises as well. If you have a fight, we have several people with fights coming up. So you are still in, you're not a week out from your fight. So we still need to have a high intensity. Even though the gym is closed, we need to elevate our heart rate and break down some muscle tissue at least. So we're still in recovery. We're still in build mode and fight camp mode. All right. So that's just the first little thing about the gym. I'm monitoring the weather and the roadways. As soon as it's safe to drive, you know, have an ability to drive, then we'll be opening up the gym. But we will see when that is, and, you know, when the city can also clear the road. So I think it's impossible for them to do every single road. So just wherever it's manageable, and then we'll be reopening. But it's Tuesday, and we're still closed. So let's get a podcast in, and let's learn something. Let's get more technical mentally, since we can't get more technical physically. Okay. So UFC 258 was Kamaru Usman versus Gilbert Burns. Okay. It was a good fight. Unfortunately, I only got to see the highlights of the fight. I didn't get to watch it live. I just missed it. So I didn't get to see it live. I've seen the highlights, but I'm not going to do a breakdown on that fight per se, because I really like to watch a fight. I like to watch it live, and I like to watch it the next day. But I am going to start doing breakdowns on UFC main events and co-main events. I had a student request that. So I'm going to start doing that, but I'm not going to I'm not going to do my first one on one I've watched the highlights of. From watching the highlights, what I've gathered is that Usman was hurt. He was rocked in the first round by Burns, recovered well, and then started from the highlights. What I saw for a large portion was straight punches, jabs, and crosses, like good fundamental straight, you know, straight jab, straight cross, recovering, weathering the storm early on from getting damaged, and then coming back to win the fight. But like I said, I got a request on that, and I think it's a good idea. So I'll do it on a fight that I have watched. I like to watch it live, then watch it the next day, take notes on it, and then see what I can break down. But there is still some. There is a fight I saw on the event because it was something I was excited about. It's Adolfo Vieira. He's an ADCC world champion, a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu world champion multiple time. Great athlete, great Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu practitioner. He was a huge favorite, and on Saturday, unfortunately, he became the first ADCC world champion to be submitted in the UFC. And why you would think that's not going to, or why that's significant if you're more of a striker, boxer, MMA fighter, is ADCC is the highest level submission grappling tournament there is, and Adolfo is a champion of that. So at one point he won he was the best submission grappler, and he's the first one to get submitted in MMA. So I'm going to unpack that and see how that happened and why it happened. So yeah, it's not as simple as his opponent was just had better jiu-jitsu than him or was really good, which actually he did get to have good jiu-jitsu, had several good attacks, good chokes, anaconda darts, and a reverse triangle. He had several very good chokes in round one, so he was actively looking for it. It wasn't a lucky choke. Wasn't just something like he swung it out there like a spinning back fist that accidentally lands or something like that. He thought about it. He went for several chokes. It was maybe choke number three or four that he actually landed in round two. But there's more to the story than just he had a really good choke. He did have a good choke, but and there's more to it, and that's where I'm going to break down. And that's why on this podcast, I put the pictures of Kamaru Usman and Adolfo Vieira. So lots of times people will look at physiques, and they will the physique will give you a good read on somebody's energy system that they primarily use or their body is really good at using. And it will give you an idea of what type of fighter you're going to go against. But it doesn't always tell that. So we're going to go dive deeper into that. The pictures I put was Kamaru Usman and Adolfo Vieira. They're both tanks. They're both monsters. They're really, really muscular guys. But Kamaru does not gas out. And even in five-round fights, Kamaru does not gas out. And Adolfo, the really significant thing, why he was submitted, why he was the first ADCC world champion to become submitted, was not because his opponent's submission skills and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu skills were so amazing. It was conditioning. It was a combination of conditioning, fatigue, and also damage that he sustained through striking on his feet. So that's really what caused the submission. But why does Kamaru not get fatigued? He got rocked. He got hurt in the first round. But he did not completely gas out. So that's where we're going to go on this podcast. And this is going to be an important one. It's really important if you're an MMA fighter, if you're aspiring MMA fighter, but it's important for everybody, even if you're just a kickboxer, just a boxer, just a wrestler, just a jiu-jitsu practitioner. But it's going to be more important once you try to blend into another sport. And that could be kickboxing and boxing. It could be wrestling and jiu-jitsu, things that are not exactly the same thing. And then it's the most important for MMA because you're blending all of those together. So that's what we're going to go into for today on this. Okay, so what this is going to be, this podcast, or the breakdown on this, is going to be energy systems, efficiency, body adaptation. That's what we're looking at on this episode, and breaking down Adolfo versus Usman. An important thing, the reason why I'm doing this podcast, I like Adolfo Vieira. I'm a fan of him. I've liked him for a long time, like 2010. I love watching his matches, just jiu-jitsu matches. His Instagram page, the day after, he had some family things that he let out on there, and then that definitely family stress will make it more difficult to compete to your best ability when you have stress or health conditions with your family. So that is definitely a factor. But in his post, he put the family issues or family things, events, but he also put that he was confused and he didn't know why he got so tired after round one. And the commentators, all of them spoke about how tired Hadolfo was. I think Daniel Cormier said that, or maybe it was Joe Rogan, one of the two said, Hadolfo looks like the most tired he's ever seen someone after round one, which, you know, that's probably a good chance that they were telling the truth. But on Hadolfo's post, the reason why I'm doing this podcast is on the post, he did not know why he was fatigued. So I know why, because it's happened to me and I had to study and figure it out and I had to search deep. And Hadolfo is going to come to this answer, but also watching other people, I learned it. Watching Damian Maia when he transitioned to the UFC, I learned it. And I was like, oh, okay, again, there's something going on here that that we're not seeing. A little invisible aspect. Damian Maia versus Ed Herman was one where he mounted Ed Herman. Ed Herman was hip escaping all the way across the mat, the entire thing. And Damian Maia won the fight, but he was completely exhausted after the fight. And I was like, what's going on? Damian Maia is a very good jiu-jitsu world champion. He's in great shape. He's not in bad shape. He could spar for an hour or 2 hours straight if he wanted to right now in jiu-jitsu, and not against like cans. Like you could pick whoever you wanted, he could spar for an hour or two straight. But when he's still beating Ed Herman, he was getting really tired. And then through my own MMA career, I learned this through training and then observing more and more people with the transition. So it's energy systems, efficiency, and body adaptation. Okay, so first one's gonna be energy systems. So to break this down, to try to give it like a easy explanation or like visual little tools, just think about a triangle, and there's three points of the triangle. Think the top point in the middle. Top point is striking. Now you go down into your left. The bottom left point is BJJ, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which is gonna for this podcast is gonna be involving groundwork. Ground grappling, mat work. And then the corner to the bottom right corner is going to be wrestling, which is going to incorporate takedown. So I put wrestling in there. These are the like main categories for MMA: striking, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and wrestling. But of course, judo is in that category and sambo. But it's takedowns, really. Striking, groundwork, and takedowns. But for this, I put striking, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and wrestling. That's what you're going to hear the most in the UFC with commentary and MMA conversation. Okay, so each one of those are different energy systems, and each one requires a different type of fuel. So some energy systems, like quick explosive things, require more, like say if you were to take a creatine supplement, it will help you out with that short amount of time. Creatine's not going to help out so much with long-term activities. And then you could take a supplement called beta-alanine. It's an amino acid. It's going to help with long-term conditioning on muscle contractions, but it does help a short term, but not as much as creatine because of ATP or the beta-alanine. I think it's actually making it so your muscles don't get as acidic as quick, so it makes them work longer. But the point is, think of all of these three as they are different gas tanks, and they take different types of fuel. So there's each person is a vehicle, and they have three separate gas tanks, and each one of these is a completely different fuel. They do cross and help each other out, and there is some hybrid and some crossover, but they are different types of fuel. And if you use one gas fuel source to run the wrong energy system, it burns it two or three times as fast. So it's super inefficient. It burns it really fast. It's almost like you have a hole in that gas tank. So I hope this analogy made some sense. The three separate energy systems that you're working on. When it comes to striking is much more like you're dancing. Okay, like think about when you're striking, boxing, kickboxing, you're moving around. It's much more like when you're dancing. If you watch Israel Adesanya, John Jones, it's very fluid. It's like I said, really high level strikers, Anderson Silva, Roy Jones Jr. You're moving around like you're dancing. And then you could do Bernard Hopkins, Floyd Mayweather, Pernell Whitaker. You're moving like you're dancing, and the energy system is also similar, like you're dancing, meaning you're not squeezing. You are exploding, but you're not squeezing the whole time, and you're not tense. You'll gas yourself out. Okay. Wrestling, I would put wrestling's energy system that's using is going to be similar to doing sprints or power cleans. So short bursts, really explosive. You know, if you think about like folk style wrestling, you have 3 2-minute periods. So short bursts, short explosive sport. So that's, you're really looking for like ATP. That's where a creatine supplement would help out. But for that energy system, you want to work on, you want to work on wrestling, which is the most important thing. Actually doing takedowns is the best way to build all of these, energy systems. There are exercise modalities like, you know, if you're trying to get the striking, like that's why boxers will run 5 or 10 miles. So they can keep their body moving for a solid hour, on their feet like that. But I'm always going to steer you towards sports specific is going to help you out, because you're going to acquire skill and you're going to acquire the energy. So you're going to be working on the energy system at the same time. You want to hit it twofold. You want to hit it from the actual physiological, biological energy system that you're trying to build, but you also want to hit it from an efficiency standpoint at becoming more technical. So if you could do what, 1 hour of boxing training or 1 hour of running outside, you want to pick the 1 hour boxing. That's going to be for wrestling or Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu as well. All right, so wrestling more close to sprinting, power clean. And Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is more like running 5 miles. It's more like running 5 miles combined with 5 miles and isometric holds. You can kind of think of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu almost like a tow truck type energy. Like a tow truck. Like a low gear, really strong, consistent pacing. That's where I'd give Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So those are different energy systems to build yourself to. If you don't work on Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu enough rounds, if you're trying to hold an arm triangle or trying to hold, like you can't, if you apply an arm triangle in a wrestling manner, like really explosive, and you're trying to hold it for max 6-7 seconds because you're putting so much effort into it, people will find a spot to keep blood flow to their brain and they will survive the arm triangle. Same thing if you're trying to pass the guard the same way that a wrestler does takedowns, then you'll find yourself getting swept or into leg attacks or triangles or arm bars because the pacing, they're different pacing for each one and different energy systems. So the same thing will happen if you use the wrong energy system, say a wrestling Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, wrestling tempo and energy system into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, you'll actually gas yourself out prematurely. You can, and people will say, oh, you're in such good conditioning, you're in such good shape, how could you get tired? It's not that. It's the trying to apply the wrong wrong gear to the wrong energy system. So a good example of this, Pat Downey and Bo Nickel, and they both went against Gordon Ryan. Gordon Ryan has like a marathon runner approach to his grappling. He's coming at you slow and steady like that tow truck, just tight, going to smother you over time because they're doing no time limit matches. So the match could go 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour. Bo Nickel, his match, that was only a 20-minute match, but with Bo Nickel and Pat Downey, Bo Nickel and Pat Downey are using their primary sources, wrestling, both really good college wrestlers, Olympic level wrestlers. They're using that pace and tempo, so it fatigues them at a faster rate than it does Gordon. Gordon's just slowly coming at them, and they are actually working them, tiring themselves out with all the takedown hand fighting setups because they're putting a little bit too much into it, not for what's optimal for the sport. Same thing if you start boxing or kickboxing like you're wrestling and you're as tight and as tense, you're going to get really tired, and that's when someone like Israel Adesanya is going to just snap punches off like and then have really fluid footwork as you're tight and you're striking like you're wrestling, you're going to get fatigued really quick because everything is so tight and seized up. So you're just wasting energy that you don't need to. And if you go with that slow pace, the tow truck pace, when you're striking, you're going to be too flat-footed, your reaction time is going to be too slow. So you're going to be 1 or 2 steps behind the fluid dancing striker if you're doing the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu tempo when you're doing your striking. So if you're going to be an MMA fighter, you need to work on all of these. You need to work on all those. You need to separate each martial art You know, you need to take time to work on your boxing, time to work on your Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, your Muay Thai kickboxing, your kickboxing, and your wrestling. And then you also need to blend them in your training. So
the thing about Rodolfo, he's not understanding where the energy was in that fight. In the very first round, Rodolfo gets several takedowns,
but what his opponent does really well is he forces Rodolfo to wrestle. So he forces Rodolfo to work to take him down. So Rodolfo, one thing when it comes to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu competition is people want to compete on the ground, on the mat. So if someone gets a takedown, they will stay on the mat because they're looking for a submission. That's something Rodolfo is used to. And there is no incentive for standing up. So in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, there's no incentive. So if your opponent, if you take them down, they stand up. Okay, they got nothing. You can take them out over and over and over, and you just rack up a score and you win the match. Now the problem with this is with Rodolfo, if he's not working on keeping his opponents down on the mat, keeping his hips above theirs, pressuring down, if he's also not working consistently on wrestling, both of those things, he's not efficient. He's not as skillful as he needs to be at those things. Even though he's amazing at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, there's still different camps of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. This would also apply to even your bottom work or gi versus no gi. If you always do no gi all the time, then you go to gi, you're going to be inefficient when it comes to gi. The squeezing is different, and also the tempo is different. So you do want to specialize and get your body ready for whatever you're going to compete in. MMA, it's the most difficult because you have the most you have the broadest spectrum of martial arts to work on. But if you're doing, like for myself right now, I'm getting ready for a gi Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu tournament, so I'm going to do the majority of my sparring rounds up until the tournament will be gi, to retune my grip sequences and technique, but also the efficiency just in my body. You'll have that with people that are really good top players in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, but not as good on bottom. So if you put them on bottom, they get tired very, very fast. So if that's you and you notice that on bottom you get really, really tired and you prefer to be on top, actually doing a ton of rounds on bottom will actually help you out. That's how you're going to create the efficiency. So your skill is going to go up, but also if you're not good on bottom, your body will naturally tighten up and seize up and get nervous when you are on bottom, and you're just going to gas yourself out even faster, the stress. So it's really so the next category we're going to go into is efficiency / body adaptation. This is where hopefully it makes a little bit more sense, but your body is efficient at what it does often. So when Gordon Ryan went against Bo Nickel, Gordon and Bo Nickel are both amazing athletes, and Bo for the first 15 minutes or so was just trying to keep it on his feet. He was trying to essentially stall intelligently on his feet and circle and move, and Gordon got to the point where he was bending over and just turning his back to him and walking to him, and people asked why he was doing that. Well, Gordon just needed the match to get to the mat because no guard pulling was allowed in that match. Gordon just needed by any means. So he allowed Bo Nickel to do a throw on him, just grab him around the waist, throw him back on his shoulders and head. He's like, I'll just take the throw. It won't knock me out. And now we're on the mat. We're on the ground. And one of the things that Gordon said after the match in his post-match interview, he said that the reason why he just started doing that instead of just going for takedowns over and over and over is even though his conditioning is great, you're efficient at whatever you work on consistently the most. So Bo works the most on standing up takedown techniques. So Gordon coming with his attacks, Bo could do that all day long. And on the mat, Gordon could do the mat work all day long. So Gordon needed to get it there. And what he said in his interview is that if he would have kept going for the takedowns forward like a zombie, he would have kept going until he gassed himself out because that's not his specialty and his strength. So, so that was Gordon's strategy when he broke it down. With Rodolfo, my guess would be that Rodolfo's not doing a lot of live wrestling rounds. He's not doing a lot of keeping people down rounds. And so with that, his skill level is not improving to the point that he needs. He's still a good wrestler. He has good wrestling ability. But the difference that you get the more often that you do something, say Kamaru Usman's a very good wrestler as well, and he will do takedowns. But when you the other thing I would also say with Rodolfo is that his striking also is lacking, that he's not working and striking enough. Again, so that's a double-edged sword. He has the deficit of energy systems when it comes to striking and the deficit of energy systems when it comes to wrestling, doing takedowns. So he's doing
two of the three major fighting positions, he's inefficient and he's burning needless fuel in. But also as the skill, because he has to keep it on the ground, he has to get a takedown, so he can spend less time setting up his wrestling. Kamaru doesn't get tired, but Kamaru's not doing a full takedown round for 5 minutes straight. Habib also does a lot of takedowns, but he's not doing a full takedown round for 5 minutes straight. He gets a takedown and then he keeps his opponent down on the mat. But the most fatiguing part of MMA fighting is taking someone down and they stand up. Taking someone down and they stand up. Taking down someone down and stand up. With Kamaru, he's more technical with his wrestling, and he's more efficient because he's doing it more often. But because his striking, he also works on his striking so much, he doesn't have to force takedowns that aren't there. That's the other thing that really makes you tired, is trying to force something that's not there, that's not set up well, or your opponent is blocking. And Adolfo was having that. His opponent was blocking and was standing up, so he was trying to force something and just gas himself out really, really quick. I hope he has a coach in his corner that gives him the best advice, because he's a very good fighter. He's very good at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. If he makes an adjustment the same way that Damian Maia did, he'll be a force, and he'll be tearing people up. Just hopefully he makes that adjustment. Hopefully he doesn't have people telling him, we don't know what it was. You know, maybe it was your diet or something like that. Now, he has great diet, I'm sure. Yeah, so you're with this efficiency and body adaptation, the human body, we kind of want to do, let's see, I already went over the Gordon Ryan Bonneckle. So what we want to do is the anti-bodybuilder strategy, basically. So one of the first things I learned when I was really young, freshman in high school, reading the Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding by Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's a good book to start with. But what it teaches you in that is that if you want to maximize muscle growth, you want to shock the muscle, you want to change, you want to rearrange the amount of sets that you're doing, the amount of reps you're doing, you want to do what's called periodization. So you want to go through strength hypertrophy and power phases, and then speed phases. So you go through these phases. The reason why that is your body, the human body, adapts to anything it does consistently. So bodybuilders are doing that because they want to maximize muscle growth, and you're not going to maximize muscle growth if you're doing the exact same workout every single week when it comes to lifting. But when it comes to combat sports, this is exactly what we want to do. We want to harness that the body adaptation that we know that human bodies will do. And so whatever event that we're going to compete in, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, wrestling, boxing, kickboxing, MMA, we want to start focusing on that energy system during the fight camp. Or fight camp, we want to make sure that we build that up during the fight camp. When you're outside of a fight camp, like say a camp is anywhere from 6 to 12 weeks long, when you're outside of it, you're going to do general prep. So that's going to be, you're working on different energy systems, or you're working on new techniques. Maybe you're focused on flexibility. But when it comes to in camp, whatever you're doing, if you're doing a Gi Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu tournament, when you're in camp getting ready for a tournament, you want to focus. You want the majority of your time to be in Gi Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu sparring. So same thing wrestling. You want to do the majority of your time in the wrestling system. And a great example was, I had a kickboxing fight years ago. Prep for that was hyper focused on. I did 3 months of only striking. Might have only done one day grappling a week. And I was still training 5-6 days a week. I was just getting ready for a kickboxing bout. Get done with the kickboxing bout, win the fight, everything's good. Start back Monday. Let's go back to wrestling and jiu-jitsu. And my cardio was not where it was. My timing, my reflexes were not where they were before. And it was because I had focused on striking. Now, if you're an MMA fighter, that's what you're going to have to do. That's one of the things that makes it really, really difficult. But if you're a specialist, whether it's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, kickboxing, wrestling, just understand, if you take an amateur boxing bout, it's also going to be different than a Muay Thai rules bout or a kickboxing bout. So during fight camp, you want to specialize. You want to specialize during fight camp, fill up that energy system and gas tank that you're going to have as much, get it as much as possible, get yourself as efficient and as skillful in the given combat sport that you're going to compete in. If you're an MMA fighter, you got to do all of this. So think each one of these, MMA, Gi, no Gi, boxing, Muay Thai, wrestling, all those are different categories. So obviously whatever you're going to compete in, that's what you want to specialize in while you're preparing.
Do that in your fight camp. Specialize during the fight camp, and general training and other cross things when you're out of fight camp. So, just a little tip. This hopefully will help you out with your conditioning, your cardio. With the Conor McGregor versus Nate Diaz, when with his fights, everybody thought Conor had bad conditioning. It wasn't necessarily Conor has bad conditioning. It's the energy system that he uses. He's a knockout puncher, so knockout punchers do get fatigued. It's part of it. Mike Tyson, you know, look up any power puncher, and if you wrestle a power puncher, he's going to get tired. So that's one way to make Conor tired. And then also, when Conor threw, he actually won with the leg kicks against Nate Diaz, but he said that he's not a leg kicker. He's not a low kicker. He just did it to win the fight, but he actually fatigued himself by throwing low kicks. He wasn't even the one getting land. You know, obviously his last fight, the low calf kick tore him up and made it so his leg couldn't work. But before that, he was not. He used low kicks against Nate Diaz in their second fight, and he was landing. He did really well with it, but he actually fatigued himself because in sparring he doesn't work on low kicks very much. He works more with that like front teep and that turning side kick, that cool stuff to set up his punches. So with this one, if you want to get your cardio good for whatever you're doing, specialize in that during fight camp, and then outside of fight camp, outside of getting ready for a competition, branch out, do different energy systems. They do cross over and help. And if you're looking for MMA, you got the hardest job of all. Hope you enjoyed this podcast episode. I'm going to be opening up the gym as soon as possible, as soon as it's safe for everybody to get to the gym. But hope you enjoyed this one. Watch some matches and do some cardio or lift or just rest and recover until the tournament on Saturday. All right. If I don't see you, if we're snowed out all week, I'll see everybody on Saturday at the tournament. See you.